Good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Youth Unplugged, brought to you by the Bank of St. Lucia. That's all the bank that you need. This afternoon, I'm joined with four very close friends of mine. Marissa, Kane, Simeon, and of course, Runley. They make up the band called Supertonic. It's a quartet, right?
Yes,
I have to ask you a lot of questions this afternoon because it's four of you.
Yeah.
Right, so we're going to try to segment the entire thing, right, and see what we could do about that. All right, so guys, how y'all feeling?
I'm good.
Yeah, we're feeling good today, Eric.
You feeling good?
Yeah.
Imagine a Pastor Mirian is here with me. I know the guy playing bass all of those years.
Step together.
Yeah, I'll be playing the game. Playing bass at SMC and now here on Youth Unplugged talking about Supertonic. All right, so the name, Supertonic, what does it mean? Marissa, that question is for you.
Boy.
I'm directing it.
Okay, so the name came from the scale. So anybody who plays music knows the major scale and the notes are given names. So you have the dominant, the mediant, etc. And Supertonic is one of them. So we needed a new name some time ago because we used to be Perfect Four. But a member left.
Perfect Four?
Yeah, it used to be Perfect Four. Now, that too came from a scale as well. Mm-hmm. So the fourth of every major scale is supposed to be a Perfect Four. But one of the members left, and we needed a new name, right? So, I just figured, let's go back to the scale.
And just pull something. Just pull something from the scale.
Supersonic kind of stuck.
Okay, well, so, you know, I actually like it because when I got a DM, I was like, Supertonic.
What is
it? Yeah, Supertonic. You know?
It took a little while, I won't lie.
Yeah, for it to stick.
I was like, boy, maybe I might have to change again, you know. But then after a while, I was like, it has a nice little ring. When people kept saying it, I was like, okay, cool, I have a little vibe. Supertones. You know,
It's giving. I like it. Yeah. All right, so a quartet. When you hear quart, you know, you start to think about four, right? Quartet, that sounds very musical to me. So, I mean, like the name, it just has something to it. Yeah, it's better than Perfect Four.
For sure.
It's better than Perfect
Four. Definitely better than Perfect
No offense to who was part of Perfect Four, but today we're talking about Supertonic. All right, so let's start it off. I'm starting with Kane, right? Kane, yeah, tell me a little bit about yourself because I know a little bit about you, but tell me a little something.
Well, I play bass guitar, upright bass as well. Basically, all bass instruments, bass pan as well. I play the fantastic music, steel orchestra. Been playing music since I was, age of 10. I'm really tall, but since I was probably height of the desk.
You're always tall. You're taller than all of
us. Yeah, always.
He was always tall.
Yeah, always. That's not bad.
I didn't try to be,
always tall.
Check me safe. Wow, hold on. Yeah, so from ever since, started playing music. Actually, I didn't even know what a double bass was when I actually started playing. They gave a list of instruments. I say, no, I know that, but everybody have that. I guess I wanted to be different.
So you just gonna pick up the double?
Sorry?
So you just went and pick up the double?
I went to pick up the double, yeah, man. Easy, so. And I guess because of the height, is a really, if you look at it, it's a really big instrument. You have to stand to play, you can't sit. The tone of it is really deep, as you know, bass, the low end. Gives up the foundation of all the music and everything.
I mean, if you don't have bass, you don't have music.
Yeah. Right? It's all about the bass, you know.
Even that song is all about the bass. No trouble. You know, it's true. It's true. I mean, if you don't have bass in a band, the band starts to feel like
it's empty.
It's rarely there. Even your music without a sub or a low end frequencies,
it's missing something.
Yeah. You need that. That's what really keeps you in check, you know, as a drummer, as a timing, whatever. Yeah. You know, you keep your time. The bass man is the man.
Sure. It's vital. You know? I know the core of the pillars of the foundation, everything, of the music, everything.
And we appreciate you. You understand? Because I appreciate you. Right? When we went to SMC a few years ago, I know Kane was very, very involved in music. Around 2014, 2013, I don't know who was responsible for that, but a lot of instruments were given to some of the secondary schools. I remember we got a new drum and
Got some drums, you got a keyboard, a bass, and that's actually when I started playing bass guitar. Mm-hmm. I was introduced a friend of mine, also a friend of Khalid's, Dylan Thomas, right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very prominent drummer right now in the US. We first show I actually playing bass guitar was on Talfest.
Yes. And some of those skits, etc., which we had at the school at the time. Some of the performances at assembly would it be sometimes, of course.
Yeah, we'll play during assemblies, during special event that we had in the school.
Anytime. Yeah, you could have been the most lapo player in the school,
and you would get
you get an opportunity.
I went about college when if you show the initiative and you show like you're actually passionate about it, you will get the opportunity.
And of course, you got a chance to miss class. So you get a chance to be.
I remember times just not going class, just call out the making noise in the auditorium.
Exactly. You know, and of course, at the time, there was a pan orchestra at SMC, and still, you'd probably be able to play a bit of pan. I mean, the pans were not the best. Mr. Lucien, big up yourself, you know. We still tried to make it work, and it was a vibe in itself. So, I understand that music has been a part of you for a very long time.
Yeah, man.
Now, the lady of the hour, Marissa, you understand? Let's talk about you for a second.
Okay, so, just like Kane, I started when I was really young, and I started before all three of them. So, I started about 8, I believe. There was one time the group, that's like Yannick and them, they were younger at the time and they came to perform at Masha Combined.
Mm-hmm. That was for the MYO stuff.
And I was like, oh my gosh, somebody who actually plays violin, because I've always wanted to play violin.
And you used to see that on the TV.
Yes. I used to watch like a lot of old mm-hmm. movies and like, you know, like the Western stuff.
Right.
And there was always like a fiddle. And I was like, I want to play that. Like, I really want to play that. And then I saw Yannick and Leanne and Jamie and all these people. They came to put on, like, a show at the school. And I was like, cool, Leanne plays. And she was our music teacher. So I was mm-hmm. like, great, let's go. She taught me for about a couple years. And then the Masha Youth Orchestra started. My mother knew nothing about it.
And you were part of the Masha Youth Orchestra?
That day I just went home and I had an instrument and she was like,
Where you get that?
Where you get that?
Yeah, because I'm telling you, I have a trumpet at home from that thing. And it wasn't me because I actually don't play any instruments. I used to try to play the drums, mm-hmm. but I was horrible, you know, so I stopped. But my twin still plays the drums and he started playing the trumpet back around that time, mm-hmm. you know. So I think he was part of the Masha Youth Orchestra for a short bit. And he actually got a trumpet from that. Trumpet still sits home today. Mm. He ain't playing it. So, I mean, that was a very, very good initiative. And I would wish that it would come back. I mean, because these things have groomed, again, a lot of our young musicians. Mm-hmm. Because look at that. You know, I have 4 of you here today, all part of that Masha Youth Orchestra. You understand? Mm-hmm. Which is huge for me because I'm from Masha. You understand? Masha Passy with the place. And we have 4 prominent musicians from Masha. And one thing Masha is very synonymous with is musicians.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
They could say what they want about Masha, but we have musicians in Masha. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a diamond still. You understand? You go to Masha Church, you have some of the best musicians in the Masha Church. You know, you're walking through Masha, you'd probably see me. You know, you'll see some people that have had an impact on music in St. Lucia, and it's very interesting. So I want to say big up to the people who actually organize things like that, people like youth and sports, etc., making these things possible, mm-hmm. you know. But any inspiration for you? I mean, who inspired you to probably pick up the violin?
I really don't have like a specific answer for that, you know, because I've just always been a very different child. For whatever reason, I've always been super into like classical music, mm-hmm. always. They can tell you when like a popular song come out, I don't know it. Like half of the time I have to ask them like, what's that? Because I don't listen to these things. I know some of like the really, really old songs, like R&B and stuff, but anything that's like just, I don't know. So I don't know what about it. I was just always, I felt full when I listened to classical music and stuff like that, Baroque, etc. And the violin just, it made sense.
And it's still making sense up to this day.
Yeah, it's making me money too.
We'll talk about that in a little while. Simeon, we're moving on to you. Again, part of the Masha Youth Orchestra. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
So, like Marissa said, the Masha Youth Orchestra, there was just a day. They just had a normal assembly and then we saw a bunch of people with instruments and
hold
stuff
on, so you went to Masha school too?
Yeah, bigger Masha, same speed.
And the Masha Infant and Primary School?
Combined.
They didn't have an infant.
It's one thing.
We went to what was the primary school? Tiny Hands?
Preschool?
Yeah.
I didn't go to preschool.
You're from Masha.
Right now, it's not Masha School. It's Bishop Gashi. Yes, that's but it was Masha.
Back then, it was Masha. So, yeah, they came, they were playing the instruments, and everyone was introducing the instrument and themselves. And then, you know, there was the violinist, and then a guy came, that was Al Eugene. He played the viola at the time, and he said, "Viola." And I was like, "Hey, what's that?" I still remember that day.
Now I didn't know the difference between the violin and the...
Because everybody knows the violin from pop culture and everything is violin, violin. Once you hear classical music, it's violin.
It's violin, that's what people are talking about.
So I still remember that assembly morning. I was standing in the veranda upstairs, because the grade 6 is upstairs in Marshall. Mm-hmm. I was looking down, and then he said viola, and I was like, that was bewildered. I was like, oh, what's up, viola? And when they came around asking everyone what instrument they would like to play and stuff, I made sure I put down viola. I can't remember if I spelled it correctly, because, you know, I didn't get success. Put down viola, and then, just like Marissa said, my parents didn't know anything. At that point in time, I lived with my grandparents. So a day, I just reached home for an instrument. My grandmother asked me, hey, Coach Wenza. They have a music program in the school. I'm a part of it now, and the rest was history.
Okay, let's talk about the viola for a little bit.
Yeah.
And I understand the viola takes a little bit more, you know, you got to be a little bit more skilled to play the viola than the violin. Marissa, what do you have to say about it?
I agree. You know why? That thing is big and heavy.
Yeah, because I realize it's a little bigger than the violin.
Yeah, it's like a mini cello on your shoulder.
Yeah, yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, it's a bit more technical.
It's like stroke your fingers.
The gaps are wider.
It's wider, so it's a bit more tasking to play.
I agree.
Okay.
Yeah. And the clef is a special one as well.
Yeah, and the viola is one of the only instruments that read the alto clef.
So. I see you speaking a little something that, you know, out of my comfort zone. So, I mean, I'm going to tell you, okay, but I really know what you're talking about, but the musicians could probably, you know, feed into that a little bit better. All right, Ranley, you sound like you're quiet in the corner. You ain't want to say much today, but yes, I go deal with you. All right, how you doing, my brother?
I'm good.
Okay, so let's a little bit about you.
Well, to be honest, I think just like most of them, I started music. Well, I actually started music at a young age. I started playing taboo at a summer camp. Yeah, and then I think that was it for a while. I wasn't playing music after that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember, because my grandmother is from Bexar, so I was living with my grandmother at the time, and I was an altar boy. So
now that's what I wanted to hear, because I know one of you had to be in church, because most of the musicians in St. Lucia, you had to play in the church. You know,
yeah.
It's almost impossible. You can't tell me you ain't playing in the church. It's a passage. You have to reach in the church.
I'm one of the best musicians. That's what a lot of the great musicians, they touch church once.
Or twice.
You know, and Al Eugene and another guy, they were speaking about music, and like Al was playing the viola and the other guy was playing violin, and every Sunday they would be talking about music. So one day I said, what's that music thing about? I want to be part of it, because it sounds interesting. It sounds, you know, even if I played the taboo, but the way I was introduced to it wasn't so intriguing. And, you know, I told Al that I want to join. And he said there was a program at Marshall Youth Orchestra. I used to go Mondidor Primary at that time. So I just walked down the road.
And swing up Marshall.
You know? And so I said, okay. And I think it was a Monday. Yeah. Boy, I remember it because... I remembered, because when he told me, Al also told me that it was only cellos available. And I was like, cello? What's that?
Kisa.
Yeah, I knew nothing about a cello. You know? So then when I went down, the people introduced me to the different types of instrument. They told me which one I came to select or play. And they said the violin. I was like, no, everybody knows the violin. And then she said viola. I was like, no, that's not what it is. And then she said cello. I was like, yes, that. And then she brought out the cello, and I saw this big instrument, and I was like, what? How am I playing that? Matter of fact, how am I bringing that at my room?
Exactly. Because it's the biggest out of the tree.
No, the double bass is the biggest. And to be very honest, I'm happy with my decision, because how would I bring a double bass at my room?
Okay, so violin, viola, cello. And then cane.
Yeah.
Cane carrying all the weight.
Yeah. So, when I saw the cello, I was like, wow, that is a huge instrument. I don't know if I want to play it. And then when I plucked the first string, that was the C string on the instrument, I was like, yeah.
You like
that's
that?
That's it. Yeah.
That is it for you?
Yeah, because it had the bass, mm-hmm. it had the high end, it had the mids. Like it's like well-rounded, balanced.
Okay. And of course, a great playing position. It's not that you really have to hurt up your neck like Marissa.
Well, I get to sit all the time.
Yeah.
So.
Marissa probably, you know,
fun fact, the cello could play as high as a violin.
Yeah. I can reach the range. I cannot play as low as the bass, but I can reach some notes.
So Viola, we just left you out of the conversation.
In the middle.
We're
situated in the best position.
In the best position. Okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah. But I mean, the turbo is it's fantastic, you know. It has a huge place in things like traditional masquerade, etc. Mm. But I mean, you pick up a cello, you could stand alone. You know, I mean, with a turbo, I'm not saying that you can't, but I mean, in terms of performance, these string instruments bring out so many different tones that it's quite entertaining, right? And you made mention to the fact that now you could reap some rewards out of all of that. So, Marissa, let's talk about that, because I think that young musicians these days, we have to find avenues, right? Let me not say just musicians, but creatives in general. Mm-hmm. How has that been for you? Has it been something that's quite difficult? Is it difficult to get gigs? Is it something that you feel overwhelmed sometimes? You have too much?
Yes, now. But before, it was a bit of a challenge. I think St. Lucians are type of people. They're very like, if I don't know it, I don't like it kind of people, you know? And with string instruments, yes, we are aware of it, but you have to like be exposed to it, you know? If you don't understand what it does, how it sounds, when it's supposed to be used, and you're like, yeah, that's not my thing. And some people only associate string instruments with folk music. So they expect, like, all you could do is play at Junekwe all time.
In October, you're ringing it in.
Yeah. But you could use string instruments to be in just about any sector that's music-related. Although in the arts, anywhere in the arts. I will say that in the beginning, it was a bit difficult because we didn't have much of a network. I mean, we worked very closely with Mr. Piper at the time and the School of Music, but because we were so attached to the School of Music, we hadn't been able to make any of our own personal networks. So when we left the School of Music, it was kind of like being in an open sea. We didn't really know how to navigate and how to get contact and how to deal with that part of things. So Mr. Piper was very, very instrumental in where we are at today. Mr. Piper, Trevor King, who else? Sandals. I remember our first gig came from Sandals. Our first wedding in 2018 came from Sandals. And
very dynamic
then,
company. I'll be honest with you. Some of the best entertainment you'd find within hotels. I mean, I played a few. And you see a lot of variety. The amount of different musicians I see during the week and so forth. I mean, some days you see pianists or whatever, keyboardists coming in, and you know, one day you might see a vocalist, you know, and the next day we might see Supertonic.
Yeah.
You understand? So I mean, it really gives an idea of what the island has to offer. And just before we came on, I was actually speaking to Simeon about traditional music and traditional masquerade and how we are now experiencing watered down versions of some of our traditions, and of course the music is a large part of it. You know, I happen to, again, be at a few hotels during the course of the week, and when the musicians come, some of the traditional players, trust me, all of them, they gray. They gray.
Yeah.
They're getting old. And I think that some of our young musicians need to go into that direction, because we're not saying that you're trying just to play within the tourism sector, the hotel sector, but I mean, it is a market nonetheless, because tourists come to our country every year. We need to show off what is our own. And it can't be only the older folk being able to do that. You know, I often make mention to the fact that I was in a quadrille group when I was younger. And I happen to know the violin because sometimes somebody will come and play the violin before you dance a bit, and you hear that start and you have to hear the violin. The violin is a huge part of that, and that is part of our culture. So if we don't have people willing to pick up the violin and young people willing to do it, then what is going to happen?
Yeah, but again, I think that kind of ties back to Saint Lucian's, like what they know, because you associate traditional songs or anything to do with culture with the older people. You don't really associate it with the younger people. So I think that it's not that the younger people are not willing to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. It's just the fact that we're not trusted to handle it.
Well, you know what? I agree with that. Because a lot of times you know what they call it? They call it fight down, quote unquote. They ain't giving the youth a chance, right? And sometimes you try to sugarcoat it, but it happens. I mean, it happens a lot of the time because I've been in positions myself when I was a very, very young DJ. And I made care of that. It ain't ready for that yet, you understand? And I remember in my earlier days, probably when I was in my teens playing, if I picked up the mic to speak, I would have so much anxiety.
Yeah.
You know, you'd start because you don't know the response you're going to get. I mean, now I'm in my mid-20s. I mean, it's a bit easier to do it. I mean, you know that probably you're going to get a response. You know probably they're going to gravitate towards you. But when you're young, you're frightened.
Yeah.
You're not willing to just go ahead and express yourself the way you want to express yourself because you don't know the reaction that you're going to get. And I think sometimes we need to be a bit more supportive as a society. So,
yeah.
Marissa, let me go to Keen, right?
I'm all yours.
Are you all right? All right. Keen, have you ever felt any sort of performance anxiety? Do you feel your belly starting to...
Boy, that takes me back to, again, my first style fest, let me tell you. I stepped on that stage, and you know, them time there, and some young man, you know, going to college there. And, you know, I've only called my girls in the crowd and everything. I think about all, I say, boy, what if I play a wrong note? What if I just, they don't feel anything? What if I, they don't like the music? What if... And all these what ifs running through my head. And I'm not gonna lie, I didn't think that it was the best performance for me, my first performance. But after, you know, you just have to get used to it. I could say, someone told me the best way to get over such anxiety or anything like that, stage fright, is just to go out and play, do it as much as you can, every opportunity you get, rather it be paid for free. It'll be first for your family. Any right. little exposure, like, I understand they say exposure don't pay the bills, but exposure is important, especially when just starting out. It helps you with the anxiety a lot. It helps you create a kind of like a personality on the stage as well. So like who you are, express yourself more freely, than to express yourself differently, come how to respond to different crowds, how to, you get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I know. I mean, how to navigate. I mean, it really helps you to get to that point. And I think that by now, Supertonic is as comfortable as could be. You understand? Unless we put you on a stage with 25,000 people, probably.
That's light work.
Yeah, that's light work. Okay, Sibian, moving on to you. I think I'd pose that question to you. I understand that, of course, you started off at the in the orchestra. But moving on from that, did any of you actually play with the School of Music for extended period of time?
So, right. In the Marshall Youth Orchestra, that's where we started. And then at some point, I guess, when most of the teachers that were teaching us, some of them moved from the School of Music. So at one point, it came to, you know, when we started getting very good at performing and stuff, some of us were, I think all of us were invited to be a part of the symphony orchestra at the Saint Lucia School of Music. I don't even know if you knew that St. Lucia had a symphony orchestra.
Well, I didn't know that, but I know about...
Full,
I listen to sometimes symphonics online. I mean, Red Bull does some of these things. I hear some hip-hop music sometimes. I listen to the symphony and how it's played. For me, it's beautiful. You know, you can sit on your car, you can play it, you feel all the music coming through.
St. Lucia had a full orchestra.
Wow. I didn't know that.
To add to what he said, the selection process was done through a scholarship kind of phase. So ECFH, I think it was, were the ones who sponsored the scholarships, and we actually had to not audition but write. So you had to develop some kind of essay to say why you feel like you deserve the scholarship to be to go to the School of Music and stuff like that. And I think we were all awarded one, you know.
I didn't get it, and they asked me to apply the second year. But the thing was that that scholarship awarded you classes at the School of Music.
And actually, that was my next question for you. I mean, for the parents listening, do you think it's a wise investment to get the children into programs like that?
It's not just, I mean, you're probably thinking about it as, you know, planting a seed for potential career future-wise, but just in terms of music helps develop a young mind that's just scientifically proven. It helps you with everything from your math skills to your literature, everything.
And of course, reading, discipline. That's the most important thing.
Source of discipline, not just music, you know, anything in the arts, sports, all of these are social networks that allow for discipline, so parents don't have to feel like they need to do everything on their own with their children.
Exactly, because I know you guys know each other for more than 14 years. You know, who would have thought that in 2010 Supertonic would have actually been a thing?
Right.
You know, you could probably imagine it being probably other people who started with you probably didn't continue, but now you'd have made the step and gone to that direction. Now, we have about 3 minutes left, and that's where the crucial questions come into play, right? What would you say is Supertonic's most prominent genre? Where do you see yourself? Where do you rank yourself? Can I say that you're a simply classical? Do you all stick within folk music only? You're trying to sell Supertonic to me. I'm trying to hire Supertonic. Let's talk about Supertonic. Okay.
Honestly, we play anything, any music, genre music, whether it be pop, classical, reggae. We dabble in all genres. We try to bring our own vibe, spin on the music. Basically, covers or anything. Essentially, any genre of music that we would like, you would want to hear, anything you want to listen to, we will provide. We will on it practice.
You get me covered.
Yeah, we got you covered.
Well, I guess jazz is coming up, so I hope to see a bit from you guys. I mean, even on the main stage, I need to see all there as well. Tourism Authority, SLHTA, whoever responsible events in Lucia. You could give us a main stage performance. You could give us a 30 minutes.
You could give
us an hour. I mean, come on. Give the fellas a little blind. We want it.
You know?
Give us a slot. We're taking it. We're taking it 100%. Of course, King Tem, you could do 25,000 people. Like, that is nothing. So you understand? So I know. You know, jazz could be filled. You could do it. You understand? I'll appreciate it. So if we want to get into contact with Supertonic, we need to book you. You want to get you on something. How can we contact Supertonic?
We do have an email, but you could contact me or Simeon. Our numbers are available. So you could get a number. But you could
that's at the guild.
Contact me at 584-9564 or at supertonicservices@gmail.com, or you could contact Simeon at
486-5820 or supertonicassistant@gmail.com.
Okay, any socials? I mean,
we have Instagram as well.
Well, I have the Instagram. If you can remember it, I have it. That's STS_STQ.
Yeah.
Right? Supertonic.
Services _. Cool.
Supertonic Quartet.
Right. Yeah. So we're going to take that. Guys, I want to say thank you so much for coming in today. It's been an absolute pleasure. I look forward to hearing you in the coming weeks. Of course, we say we don't want to hear traditional music only during Junior Creole. But we're part of the arts as well.
Yeah.
We have a youth festival coming up, Jazz and Arts Festival, and I hope that I could see you in some form, of course, probably not only at Jazz, but probably in the square. We have a lot of things coming up.
We need to
incorporate the different parts of our culture in a lot of our events. I think that's the best way to go about doing it.
Pleasure.
With that, you can't go wrong. I mean, it's not only about hearing soca music, etc. We need to hear everything.
For sure.
All right. So, guys, once again, thank you so much for popping in. This has been another edition.
Thank you so much for having us.
You don't know it, good. That's nothing. You understand? This has been another edition of Youth Unplug, brought to you by the Bank of St. Lucia. Guys, that's all the bank that you need. If you need a credit card, you get a debit card, you go to the Bank of St. Lucia. What do you mean? That's safe, eh? Where is I telling you? I have mine there and I'm using that all the time. Head over to BOSL, ask them about the investment fund, and get yourself sorted with the Bank of St. Lucia. My name is Khaled Fidat. I will see you guys again next week for another edition of Youth Unplugged.